supervisors to order. And we are going to go to item 7A, discussion of resolution accepting a bid for purchase and sale of railroad track property. Ms. Nielsen.
Yes, thank you. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Before you today is a resolution and a bid for APN's 030-320-070-030-320-080, 030-380-110, and 014-940-020, commonly referred to as the Dunsmuir Railroad Park property. As the board may recall, on June 15th of this year, the board declared the property is surplus to the county's needs, and that set up the next steps for advertising the property pursuant to government code 54222. We did not receive any responses from eligible public entities, and we flew the property after we brought the resolution to the board on August 10th of this year, authorizing the sale of the property and a public bid in an amount no less than $550,000, which was what the property appraised at earlier this year. And on August 25th, we received a bid in the amount of $550,444.00 from Mark J. Lilly and Mary E. Lilly. And the resolution in front of you today is to accept that bid, and then to, consistent with the previous resolutions, authorize the county administrator or her designee to complete a property sales agreement with the Lillies. And we will if the board were to approve this resolution, we would finalize that property sales agreement, work with other departments as necessary, and then enter into that agreement with the Lillies and move forward on the property sale. On the real quick edit, on the eighth whereas in the resolution in front of the board today, where it says Mark J. Lilly and Mary E. Lilly, Mary E. Lilly should be spelled L-I-L-L-E-Y, and not L-I-L-L-Y. So keep it short.
No, just this has been a long process. I will, for those board members may not be familiar, way back when this first came upon me was the Lillies were interested in taking over the operation there, and it turned out that property was in Siskiyou County. I always, for the life of me, always thought that was just at the northern end of Shasta County. The Lillies have been wonderful operators, very community-minded. I'm grateful that we didn't have to go through a whole lot of other bidders trying to take it out from underneath them, if you will. This is going to help them facilitate, you know, more further investment in the property. I will tell you that it's been a great partnership as far as the county being a leaseholder, if you will, but I think it is time for them to take it to the next level. So I would be happy to make the recommended motion.
Any other discussion before we have a second?
Second. You can go second, Supervisor Ogre.
Yep.
I just had one comment. Yeah, I agree with this as well, but I know. You know, you look at the sum of money, and you know, you want it, and how it's allocated. I know it's one-time funds, and how we invest that in the county for one-time expenditures and those sorts of things. I don't know if that comes back before the board or where you get that direction, but how that's done in the best way possible. We're not just trying to fill a gap one year. We're thinking long-term with this.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. You are correct, Supervisor Chris, that the once received, we will then bring back to the board where those monies would be allocated or deposited. There are different ideas with retirement, making a one-time payment to retirement, our OPEB liability, or placing in our budget stabilization fund because of the uncertainty of the future for our revenue for the county. So that will all be coming back to the board for discussion prior to doing so.
Yeah, I don't want to direct you which way to go yet. Just know we're going to have it. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to support my vice chair in this, even though I don't like selling land. it's an old thing with a really old rancher in Scott Valley once told me, land has permanence, all other investments are transitory. That's kind of true in general, but then again, with the headaches associated with a government owning land,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think it's a good one.
Well, it's also a template because at least since I've known, this is really the first time we've actually sold property. We've always kind of been a buyer, and look how many properties we sit vacant doing nothing for us right now.
Yeah.
So there are other opportunities, not saying every one of them should, you know, they need to be vetted, if you will. I believe we're working on the Opportunity Center property, it's prime property, but you know, everything has to be looked at in its own light. So I appreciate the support, and I'm sure the lawyers would be very happy to get this turned.
Sure. Sure. With that, I have a motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Oh, yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for all the work on this.
Thank you.
Item 7B, County Council.
They're just doing a thumbs up.
Oh, you get thumbs up.
And a party hat, too. There was a party hat.
I saw that.
I got to learn to do that for my students.
Thank you, Mr. Lilly.
You put it in the record, Ms. Whitney.
Thank you, County Council. You're up next with 7B.
Yeah, this is a resolution being brought forth that affects the applicability of a water truck ordinance, which the board has previously passed. As it stands now, the ordinance is enforceable on certain select areas where the issue of cannabis cultivation, which is illegal in Siskiyou County, is most concentrated. There is nevertheless a need to address illegal cannabis cultivation in other parts of the county as well, and for that reason we are seeking to amend the applicability of the water truck ordinance by this resolution so that it applies countywide to every road over which the county has jurisdiction. It wouldn't, of course, apply to incorporated areas, because we don't have jurisdiction over incorporated areas. It wouldn't apply to private roads, because we don't have jurisdiction over private roads. But over all roads which are within a county maintained system, if the board adopts this resolution, our water truck ordinance would apply. That ordinance, as you'll recall,
is this it?
Indicates.
That's weird.
It's okay, I like the idea of putting this all in the time.
And it wasn't even running, it just started beating.
I'm looking for the hook.
So that ordinance, as you'll recall, is one which requires, unless you are driving a vehicle which is exempt, and we've exempted quite a few vehicles at this point, that a person transporting 100 gallons or more of water that is not potable, first get a permit, those permits are being issued for free, and they're being issued expeditiously, and so for that reason we're hopeful that this will continue to be something which is not too much of a impediment or a hassle, so to speak, for the public to comply with.
It's my understanding that we already passed some exemptions that apply here.
Correct. Within the ordinance itself, there was a urgency ordinance, then there was a regular ordinance which took its place, which exempted a few types of vehicles. And one of the provisions within that regular ordinance which we adopted allowed us to exempt additional types of vehicles vis-a-vis resolution, which we did the last time at the last board meeting. Additional vehicles were exempted at the last board meeting, including potable water transporters, I believe Forest Service people, I'm going off of memory, I believe well drillers, etc. But to the extent anybody wishes to see the list of exempt vehicles, you can take a look at the resolution we passed at the last board meeting, as well as the ordinance itself, which contains some limited exemptions.
And I had a question of Jim Smith. I see Jim's online. Jim, if you could answer whether or not this is I guess, congruent with agricultural activities in the county. Jim, you there?
Every 50%.
Mr. Smith, are you there?
Here.
Toward that issue, I can tell you that when we came up with the list of exempt vehicles, which was in the resolution we passed last board meeting, Jim Smith was involved in coming up with that list, and we included those who had received a permit from the Agricultural Department.
Okay, so that's what I was looking for. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Yeah, one of the things I think, you know, I look back when we try to craft, well, we always try to craft things with a, you know, certain amount of intent, but, you know, to me it's a cleaner thing to have, make it countywide. Mm-hmm. That way it's not perceived that we're just going after anyone. When we talk about illegal, it could be there today.
I walk in my district. I need help.
Yeah, I mean, and I will tell you, marijuana, as we all know, has been around since I've been a supervisor, not only a problem, but an issue. It was initially when I got here. Forest Service lands. So think about that surrounds us. They could be using any county road to get there, you know, type of thing. To me, this eliminates that perception that we're going after, you know, X, Y, Z. This is a straightforward. We do it when we do an ordinance, as we will do later to, today in our meeting regarding whether it's fire. We do a countywide thing. I think it's just more, if we did this more consistently, it'll eliminate that perception that we're always targeting someone or something.
Thank you. Other board members?
Yeah, I'm in support of this resolution.
Okay.
What you said?
Jim, Mr. Smith has been
helped. Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I think council may have answered the question, but I was looking for the concurrence on the ag exemptions for this ordinance we're about to pass.
On the, say that again, I couldn't hear you.
The exemptions for water trucks, and council relayed to me that they would be exempt given an agricultural permit.
Yes, that's a little complicated. We do have a multitude of permits within this office over here, so we can arrange to deal with that exemption. I guess that's what you're asking. I'm a little concerned about the ones that actually don't have a permit and their neighbors are going to get an exemption outside of that because they have a current permit with my office and others will not. Just one concern I had. Did I answer your question?
Sort of. I was just looking for some reassurance that your interests have been completely involved in this so that we don't have the communication misstep that we had last time.
Yes, sir, I have been involved in that, and we are prepared to provide that information to planning upon request, so no problems there.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I think I'll go, is there public comment on the water ordinance? I'll go to the public comment now. Raise your hand by pressing *9, please.
Rachel Agron, you may unmute and it's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm the deputy city clerk of the town of Fort Jones, and I've been handling this water curtailment. The water boards letting us know that.
Ma'am. Excuse me. We're not talking about. We're not talking about the.
Curtailment. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah, we're on the wrong topic here.
Okay.
That'll come up here in a minute. Thank you.
With that, if you're looking for a motion,
I am looking for a motion now. Mm-hmm. See, no more comment.
I recommend a motion.
The second one.
Motion and a second, Wendy.
Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hout?
Aye. Okay. I am going to recess the county board and convene as a flood control and water conservation district. This time is for public comment under the flood control and water conservation district. We will accept comment this time by pressing star 9 on your phone. Seeing none, minute approval.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask to, that be continued to the next board meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
We can do that. You need a motion to that effect?
No.
All right, we'll continue. I'm going to adjourn the Flood Control and Water Conservation District, reconvene of the Board of Supervisors. Item 9A is a review of the proclamation of local health emergency by a county officer. Discussion or looking for a motion to extend?
Move to extend.
A second.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hout?
Aye. And now we'll talk about curtailment. I have a, I believe, a staff presentation, and then I'll go to public comment.
Good morning, board members. Matt Parker, Natural Resources. Per the request of the chair, started to think about drafting a letter regarding the curtailment orders that residents and municipals have been receiving in Scott Shasta Valley related to the State Water Board's emergency regs. I have received calls and emails concerning the curtailments regarding just individual residents in Scott Valley and also municipals in both Shasta and Scott Valley. There's a lot of confusion in some regards why they are receiving curtailment orders when, one, they're not part of a decree or adjudication, two, why they're providing water to for essential needs, and what, so why are they receiving curtailment letters. I've been in contact with representatives from Lake Chastina Community District and Fort Jones. And they have shared with me they're providing responses back to the State Water Boards, both with questions and their concerns regarding curtailment. So staff is seeking direction or possible direction about possibly providing a letter of concern back to the State Water Board regarding the curtailments.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to receive one from my home, as were my neighbors, as was the phone calls that I got over this. And to quote my county council, you'd have to be a water rights attorney to understand the 10-page letter that was sent out. Truthfully, as much as I know about the subject, and I've been in it for 25, 30 years now, it was difficult to understand. So I. The response I'm looking for from the county is a number of things. One, looking at what the jurisdiction is. They claim in the letter that every well in the valley is connected to the river. I'd like to see that science that shows that, other than models, actually proof. As many people know, between the gravels of the river, that's probably true. If you're deep in an aquifer, which a lot of wells are, I'm not sure that's a direct tie. Anyway, I think there's some overreach on the water board's part, especially in the de minimis wells in the valley, that quite frankly have people alarmed. What is the state doing here? I think it was ill thought out, if you will. And I think we need to respond to the water board. The other thing it does in the letter, which I'm concerned about, is it is usurping or supplanting the county's role in the groundwater management planning. And we need to push back on that because the State Groundwater Management Act gave us that authority, as the health lawsuit also clarified it for us, that we do have that role. And why now, all of a sudden, is the Water Board stepping into that in places where they've not been looked at before. So that's my two cents.
So, one, I don't think it's prestige, you know, it's been, to me, the way this is presented, like it's just Scott Valley and out there, it's not. I have a constituent call because he had like seven different deals and he got seven different letters.
Really?
Right, yeah. Wow. And so it's not just there, it's countywide. I do think what we need to do is have them come up and give us an explanation in person. They need to show, come and explain. I think if someone's sitting behind a desk and just sees the paper, doesn't see that it's a domestic well,
yeah.
What's the what are the exemptions? What's the criteria? I will say this: this isn't going to end today.
No.
If we don't get any weather this year, it's going to be worse next year.
Right.
So we better get these people up here and get on the same page, explain what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish, and explain where we're at with this.
I think we put that in the same letter as a request back then, right?
Yeah. And you know, I quickly had some rain over the weekend. I'm hoping this is fine. Is that the heavy water, I'm talking about the agriculture, you know, the season's ending, hopefully they've made it through, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, crop production's stopped, some time ago.
And I'm using Siskiyou, flood control for Lake Siskiyou, you know, that we got a season in, so you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking at this gearing up for next year.
Yeah, and I'm concerned where we're going next spring, with the water board, not so well-documented conclusions I've made in this.
Well, I will say this, that you know, it's bureaucratic that we deal with, but we were able to get a 5 CFS reduction at Lake Siskiyou, so you know, that they were accommodating to a certain degree.
Yeah, and in all reality, a de minimis water user isn't going to use, 2 acre feet a year.
Correct, yes.
But I'm supposed to attest to that by signing under penalty of perjury that I don't. I have no way to measure that.
What's
your meter? What's your meter?
Yeah, okay.
Supervisor Chris, do you have anything?
I'm in support of the letter. I think it's also, such as the chair brings up, what I understand from Sigma back in 2014-15, you're under 2 acre feet, you're not bothered by it. And we've been trying to tell people that so they don't worry, and then they have this letter come out, and actually puts them in a worried position. I can bring up, for example, the Montague Water Conservation District this year pretty much went dry with their water already. We're working on two for the city of Montague. There's a diversion point there off the Shasta River. Have you been contacted by the city of Montague at all or anything?
Not in related to this.
Not related to this, okay. I know we're trying to get that permitted, and it was the example for the state several years back. Secretary of Ag, different people came from Water Board, mm-hmm. and we're still trying to work that through the process. It's not to throw anybody under the bus, but it's trying to work that through the process. I know McLeod dealt with this back to us in 2015, I believe. Their water was curtailed out of the spring. Thing is, if they didn't take the water, it would go out on dry ground. So it was better to go through the city than end up in the Sacramento River. If they didn't take the water, then the water would be going through the city to the Sacramento River. So we had to work that stuff out through, you know, just communications. So I know that in reading the newspaper article, San Francisco is also considering litigation or is litigating on this issue for some water curtailments for their area as well. So we're not alone. Are you aware of that? I've read the articles, but I'm only as smart as the article I read on this. I'm not an expert on this. So I don't want to profess
expertise. Right. I believe I've seen an article where the city of San Francisco and some of the agriculture irrigation districts are suing the board. Together. I would note as well that from my understanding and talking with folks around the state is that Siskiyou County's curtailments are the only ones that receive, groundwater use is the only one receiving curtailment letters. No other curtailment order that's happening around the state has any ties to groundwater. It's all surface water. Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. I mean, that is DWR's legal wheelhouse. The ground, you know, The other thing most, I guess, unnerving to me, I'm not sure I can cut you off.
No, go ahead. You're the chair.
You know, the public doesn't know, but I challenged the figures with Fish and Game that are in there for the flow expectations on the Scott. And the reason I challenged them was I'd like to see the science, where that came from. And I think that also needs to be in our letter, too, because my perception, and it's in this letter, they talk about what was realized in the 60s as far as flows, and some of these flows are predicated on a climate that no longer exists. So, yes, there have to be adjustments. There's going to be adjustments in agriculture, but there also has to be adjustments on what the system is capable of. And I didn't see that anywhere in the letter, and I have yet to get a response from Fish and Game on that as well.
I think as well, too, it's frustrating that Kelly has spent this amount of time and resources trying to come up with a groundwater management plan, and then just have something come in and say, well, there should be that coordination, Shane and working together. We've been trying to, I think, Mr. Parker's done a great job reaching out to these departments, and they've been involved pretty well so far. So to have this come in is a little bit of a blindside.
Yeah. So with that, before I go to the public, I'm also going to say that as soon as I received my letter, which I think was pretty early on, I did reach out to both Senator Dolly and Assemblywoman Dolly's offices, and they both engaged at state level. I don't know if there's resolution yet at that point, but they are engaged in this issue as well. And with that, I'm going to go to the public for any kind of public comment. I know at least one person wanted to speak before. It's your time to speak. Press *9 on your phone so that we can recognize you at this time.
Mr. Jocelyn, you may unmute. It's your time to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Nick Jocelyn, Mount Shasta, California. Just wanted to throw in a couple thoughts I had when we're discussing the chance to send a letter to the state. I think people should be alarmed because we are literally running out of water in the Scott and Shasta valleys. And just a reminder, historically, neighbors in both those valleys actually fought each other over water in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So I think we have come quite a ways in our ability to work together for common goals. I think part of the problem lies in the poor reporting of wells, their uses, and the production volumes. If anybody's ever looked into those systems, they're really hard to track and put together. So it's possible that these curtailment letters may have overshot. But I think given the magnitude of the issue, it's probably excusable that they maybe sent more letters than needed to be sent. And I'm sure most of this is going to work itself out with further communication. And I think in the actual drafting regulation, the legal justification, the biological opinions were quite vast. And I think there was plenty of scientific justification for the curtailments. Also in regards to Sigma, as far as I understand it, and having been going to the meetings, Sigma will only be advisory. There's no enforcement component to it. So I think what we're seeing is how it would play out in the Sigma process, were we to meet one of the management action levels, that it would be the water board that would come in. So I think this is be what it will look like in the future if Sigma monitoring shows that we'll need to move into one of the management areas. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have another caller who wished to be recognized? Good morning, Sari.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, Thank you for bringing this issue up to the board's attention. I agree a letter should be written to the State Water Board on this extremely important issue for our communities. I've spoken several times at the State Water Board hearings about my perspective since I worked in this watershed over 30 years and seen droughts come and go and fish come and go, and trying to find a reasonable alternative to what they're proposing. And I think, you know, water use law, water rights law is based on reasonable. And I think that's a good angle for this, the board supervisors to come from, that this was excessive in the way they approached this curtailment. We know water masters have curtailed water rights for years based on priorities, and that's right and justified. But the way this was approached, one size fits all solution, did not really work in our valleys. And we're trying to make the pendulum in the middle here for balanced use, whether you cite the public trust doctrine or the water code for reasonable beneficial uses. But this has gone too far. And of course, getting the five letters myself to our parcels in Scott Valley for our residential parcels was a bit excessive. And my neighbors have also complained, just like yours have, Supervisor Haupt, and are very confused. The public is very confused about what is going on here, and that's not fair to them. So I really encourage the board and the agencies, CDFW, to provide better public relations and communications about why that letter was almost incomprehensible for anyone who has not been following this issue in detail over many years. It obviously was written by lawyers and does not explain why anybody should be curtailed at this point. And then the fish numbers. It was misrepresented the status of the coho population here in the Scott River, and they're not in danger of extinction. These drought years and as climate change is making drought years more frequent, yes, we do have to be concerned about how all of us can survive under these changing conditions for agriculture and residences and the fish. But this pendulum pushed it too far over to one extreme side, and we need to come back to balance. So that's my main point. But I do agree that a strongly worded letter needs to be sent to CDFW and the State Water Board, and that how this is also impacting the SGMA GSP groundwater sustainability plans that are being done, and just pulling the rug right out from under those efforts. Those are all really important points that I hope you make in your letter.
Time.
Thank you. Next caller.
Rachel, you may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hi. My name's Rachel. I'm the deputy city clerk of the town of Fort Jones. We received one of those letters too. It's a 12-page and comprehensible letter. And a lot of what it says is really what it doesn't say. The things that it leaves out that you need to read between the lines or have explained to you verbally over the phone, which was in my case what I had to do because, like I said, it's a very confusing letter. But we were not asked by the water boards to modify any behaviors in light of the drought or begin cutting back. Instead, we were asked to come into compliance in 7 days or face a fine of $500 a day beginning today. So I do agree that a letter should be drafted to get exemptions through this program. We're being asked to provide an extremely granular level of detail that no water system has access to. We've been asked to cease all irrigation immediately, and I believe that's an expectation that they have of everyone along the watershed. And again, that's something that's not stated explicitly in the letter. I had to call and have it explained verbally to me over the phone because it's a very ambiguous letter. I was forwarded an email this morning from the water boards. They've put a pause on the curtailment for now, but they do remind us that this is a quote, that they have the ability to manage diversions in real time and make adjustments as necessary through the remainder of September. So they're reserving the right to impose curtailments without any notice. I think if we do write a letter, now is the time to do it.
If I could, she said she's with the Fort Jones, but she's not representing them, or is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Sarigan brings up an important point as well. She didn't say it, but I think it needs to be in the letter. One of the things that the Water Board may not be recognizing is that throughout the county, as private wells to homes end up going bad or drying up during the summer, it's the cities that actually end up pumping more water to be able to provide potable water to those failed homes. And it may sound really good for them to cut back on water, but in effect, they're actually having to supply beyond what their city limits are in times of drought.
I think that's why you see some of the cities pushing back legal action.
Yeah. I'm curious, Mr. Parker, did you hear from Edna City at all? Because they actually do have a diversion.
I did not, and I scrolled through the list of curtailments because they're all posted online. You can go snoop around on their website and look at everybody who received one. I don't recall if the city of Edna received one, but I would assume because they have a surface right that they received one, but I don't know that for sure. I do recall like City of Weed was on the list. Grenada Sanitation District was on the list, so there was a few other. I don't know if Warika didn't have one. I don't believe, but like I said, it could be wrong. It can all be. It's all available online to look at. Sure.
Would you mind just emailing that link to us?
You bet.
Thank you. Any other callers online on this subject? Press star 9, please, so we can recognize you. All right, seeing none, any further discussion from the board? So do we need a motion to prepare a letter and have the chair sign?
Depends on how formal you want to make it. I mean, I've seen at least three, if not you, all four, indicating they want a letter drafted. If you want to make it formal, you can make a motion. And
I'll make a motion.
I'd like to see the copy before I read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is the motion exactly? To direct staff?
Direct staff to...
Draft a letter?
Draft a letter, circulate it for the board to sign. For the chair to sign.
I was going to say it's going to come back to the board, obviously, because for the chair to sign.
Yes.
That would be after. Can we...
Well, yeah, we have to have it in...
Could it be ratified?
I'm okay with the letter, but I want to see it before I go hard, fast. And
can we bring it back next meeting to ratify?
Okay.
So staff will be signing it, and it'll be ratified by the board thereafter.
I'll sign it.
Okay. And then the board can ratify it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. And did I have a second?
Not yet.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was it?
Yep.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
And City of Weed is on the list.
Wendy, appointments.
Yes, the first one I have on the list here is a continued vacancies that were on the Law Library Advisory Board. The Law Library Advisory Board is specific to people in the legal field, and we didn't have anybody earlier in the year interested, but I did hear from TJ Linville and Matthew Kane that they are both willing to serve on the board. And if we could have them appointed, that would be great.
Move to approve.
Both of them?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll second it this week.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
The next is Behavioral Health Services Board.
And I have two of them actually listed. They were both continued from back in April. Total, I have three positions vacant on the Behavioral Health Services Board that end in December 31st of 2023. I have one ending December 31st of 2022 and an alternate ending this year, 2021. We have one person interested that the Behavioral Health Services Board has voted on and would like to see appointed to the board, and that's Patricia Hobbs. She's with the Karuk Human Services, and hopefully they will have some other people interested. I just need to know which term, if you're so inclined to appoint her, which term to appoint her to.
The longest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the December 31st, 2023. That's the longest ones I have out there.
Okay. Make that policy from now on.
Okay. Well, they're normally not this low on participants in that board, so hopefully we can start filling them up, filling those positions.
I'll second Supervisor Oakland's motion. Yeah.
And that's to appoint Ms. Hobbs, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor
Aye.
Thank you.
And unscheduled vacancy on the Behavioral Health Services Board.
Well, I covered both of them, so.
Okay.
If we could, whichever ones we need to, we can continue. In case we get some more people interested, that
continue
would be great.
Continue everyone.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Minute approval.
No corrections. I just had a typo from Supervisor Ogren, which I did fix. It was just a spelling error.
I kind of like that typo. I don't know if I'll make that motion or not. That's good. That's good. That's good to have.
No further discussion on the typo. Let's stick it.
But other than that, no actual corrections. So.
I'll second Supervisor Ogren's motion.
Okay. I have a motion and a second.
So, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
With that, I think we're finished with the open agenda, and we will go to closed session.